from the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
And a good Monday morning, Monday afternoon, something like, I'm so confused. We have summer, we have rain, we have winter, we have something. I don't know what's going on. And I'm hoping that right there on the other end, that little blurb was Cliff saying hello.
Hello there. How are you?
I am good.
Well, obviously not. Weather's got you scared.
You're what?
The weather seems to have you scared.
Yeah, I get very scared from the weather.
I tell you, it's not hard. It's everything. Everything happens every day. Not a day of rain.
Yeah.
A day of sun, and then it's every day.
Well, that's Oregon for you. And I'm pausing here as I'm setting audio. We're doing, in our quest, in our ever-ending quest to have a good audio program. Unfortunately, sometimes we can't adjust audio depending on what we're doing until after the show goes live, so I am currently doing that. That's the pause. I apologize for the pause, the pregnant pause.
Be careful. Don't put any pauses between pregnant and pause. Could be very disconcerting, but anyway.
Anyways, assuming that everything works right this week, which is almost as bad a gamble as playing the lottery, got a lot to talk about today, a lot of things on the list. We also have a what the heck are they thinking? Hi, how you doing? We have a what the heck are they thinking segment coming up, and we're going to talk a little bit about, I guess, a little bit more astronomical, spectacular stuff going on in the sky, known as Venus, and the Wisconsin governor recall. The queen knows how to party. We'll talk about that and other items in the news. But first, let's get some business out of the way, shall we? And start off with that by our sponsor, Dancing Dog Cookies.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them. And I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Yes, your dog will love them, and so does Cliff. So check them
yes.
out.
Yes. Chomp, chomp.
Can't keep the samples in stock. But I want to kind of move right along here because we do have a lot to talk about. And let's see. Let's go ahead with the Venus. It's going to be a fun show. Venus. Venus thing, and then I want to get into what the heck.
I wanted to bring up the transit of Venus because it brings us back again to how to watch things when they're on the sun, because this is another thing that's happening on the sun. It's when the Earth and Venus and the sun and whatever all line up at right time. And this is only going to happen, well, it's not going to happen again in your lifetime, period. But it's on Tuesday, tomorrow, and it's extremely important that you take precautions as you watch this thing, because, again, looking at the sun is kind of bad news. It's kind of sort of bad news all the way around. The United States and Canada, the transit will begin when the dark disk of Venus first touches the outer edge of the sun, and astronomers call it contact one, and it's the first contact for – now, I've broken this down. This is – for Eugene. This is the time it'll be in Eugene, because that's where we are, or thereabouts. is Eugene, Oregon. So it'll first contact will be at 2:06 in Eugene. It'll get to the center of the sun on 5:27, and it'll end at 9:47. This is Eugene time. Now you can adjust that and make it whatever time you want to match your own time, but that's what
that's
it will be.
That's Pacific time, by the way. And that's
Pacific
time.
What
Eugene is.
Well, it's more specific than Pacific time, too. It's for Eugene specifically. But anyway, it's kind of a neat thing. See, you got one thing you got to understand is that this is a lot smaller than the moon getting in front of it, because it's going to be just a little tiny black dot that you're going to see. And you can still use your pinpoint camera to take a look at it, but if you want to make it bigger, use a pair of binoculars and use them. But don't look through them. Don't look through them. Make them project through onto a piece of paper, and look at the piece of paper, because you don't even want to look at the sun. But it's kind of an interesting thought. Interesting thought, because it only happens once every so often. I mean, it's not going to happen again in our lifetime at all. Period. It's just going to. It happens. I think it's like a 4 year apart. Excuse me. It's 4 years apart, and then the next time is 105 years or something like that. I mean,
yeah, it won't happen again until 2117.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to see it again. We're not.
No.
Well, but it's along the other things, and it is something, you know, to say that you saw it, you personally saw it. I mean, not everybody's going to do that, and not everybody can. So I'm going to take a look at it and use our little pinpoint camera and look at it. And then I'm going to try it with the binoculars, because I got a pair of binoculars. It's better if you could put them on a stand of some sort. I don't know how to do that to binoculars. My binoculars.
You can use a magnifying glass too. Same thing. But yeah, no, excellent point to remind people that, of course, and it sounds like common sense, but there are people that will actually look at binoculars through the sun, and the only dot they're going to see is where the sun burned a hole in the retina. But yeah, very good reminder that if you are going to view this thing, like any time you view the sun, use a pinhole camera, very easy sheet of paper, a little pin through it, works great, and shine it up against something. Do not look directly at the sun ever, because it will pay for it.
If you want to learn more about this and read about it and take a look at the things, and they'll tell you about the picture, about the pinpoint camera too, go to Transit of Venus. .org, Transit of Venus, that's all one word, of course, .org, and that will tell you all about it and give you a lot more information than I'm giving you. But I wanted to bring it up because I think it's very interesting, and it's something, these things that only happen, you know, once in a lifetime are kind of interesting to watch. And I think this is the last one. There isn't another one, period. There was one 4 years ago or something, but there won't be another one, period, for our lifetime. So I just thought I'd bring up transit
I totally agree. And this is, you know, like I say, one of the rare events that people, you know, don't get the opportunity to see. But like Cliff says, you know, of course, use common sense, use caution, and hopefully that after the event you'll still be able to see. And we tease a little bit about that, but on a serious note, definitely never, you know, stare at the sun if you value your eyesight.
And if you go to that website, transitofvenus.org, it brings up the pinpoint camera, and it brings up information about how to watch it. I'm noticing on this, there seems to be a lot more information about how to watch this thing and without burning your holes in your eyes, more than there was on the moon thing. So and I don't know why, but maybe they just forgot about it, and maybe a lot of people yelled at them.
Unless somebody tells you, you know, a lot of people do it. They just stare at the thing. They don't think that much about it. They think that they can just wear sunglasses and be okay. Well, it's UV protected. Yeah, well, maybe protected you from UV, but not the huge blazing light, you know, burning a hole in your retina. So, yeah, it's a good reminder. Go ahead.
That's why the welding glasses work, because they're very dark to begin with, and they're also UV protected. So, but it's just as easy to run it through some kind of a projector, even if it's just a pinpoint in a piece of cardboard. It works, and it protects you totally. I mean, you don't get the UV at all. You don't look at that part of the sun. You don't look at the sun at all. You look at the piece of paper, and you're just totally protected. You have nothing to worry about. Plus, the fact it's easier to see.
Exactly. Anyways, that's happening June 6th, 6:03 p.m. Eastern Time, 3:06 p.m. Pacific, and it's one of nature's spectacular things. So don't miss it.
Yeah, and this is a long time thing. It doesn't happen in just a matter of 5 minutes like the moon thing did. This goes on for hours, so you can get up late and still make it.
That's right. But here in Oregon, it'll probably be overcast. You won't be able to see a damn thing, so it probably doesn't matter. Anyway.
No, cottage grow is going to be nice. We've been having very good luck at having at least periods of sun that we can see things. I don't know. We wouldn't see it today.
Okay, so anyways, good tips, and moving right along.
You have got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Okay, there's so much going on that it's really kind of hard to pick a few of them. And now, Cliff and I, we don't talk about the What the Heck Are They Thinking segments before the program, and I do that on purpose because sometimes I really love Cliff's reaction to these. So I'm going to start out with, I don't even know where to start out with, but the current, okay. I'm going to start out mild to what the hell. Eugene, Oregon. A jury took less than 2 hours to acquit a woman who was on trial for the second time for the allegation that she killed her unborn son. And Alicia Swartout first ended up this year in the hung jury when they were one vote shy of a unanimous guilty verdict. The 25-year-old former hotel clerk from Springfield took the witness stand and pushed out her stomach to demonstrate how she faked her pregnancy. Apparently, this is the second time she's done this, and the first time she did this was to try and get sympathy from her large adopted family or whatever, and she told police that she had a miscarriage and actually suffocated it and placed it in a garbage container. Police had searched the landfill extensively and did not find any remains. So, moral of the story there, if you're feeling unloved, get a puppy.
Yeah, really. My God. She actually went to the police and told them herself, and they didn't put her in jail?
Apparently, that's why she got arrested, and this is the second time that she's done it. Of course, she was false positive on... Okay, she told the police in a confession that after she got a false positive result on a pregnancy test, that she became an instant favorite in a large adoptive family in which she felt ignored, which is why she did it.
Ah, then she needs to go to a mental hospital, not to someplace else, because she definitely doesn't, she needs not to be free. She needs to be somewhere she can be watched. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. That's why I say get a puppy. secondly, there's been a trend in the news about cannibalism. And I want to touch on that for the moment. We've heard about the guy that ate this guy's face. And recently there was a one where I guess he killed his roommate and literally ate his brains and heart. Well, I mean, it's one thing to do it to somebody else. Now, I'm not saying go out and kill and eat your friend. But I don't even know how to read this. You've heard of the phrase having your balls in a fire?
No.
Well, A man in Tokyo is actually taking this to the extreme by offering up his male genitals, full penis, testes, and scrotum as a meal for 100,000 yen. The man said that he will prepare and cook his junk as the buyer requests at his chosen location. And I'm not even going to try I'm going to try and pronounce his name, but I'll probably bastardize it, so I apologize in advance. So just after Sigmaya's 22nd birthday, the artist underwent elective genital removal surgery, divvied up his severed penis, shaft, testicles, and scrotum skin between five people and garnished it with button mushrooms and Italian parsley. It's a seasoning that really makes it the meal, you know. Anyways, one organization known as Calorie Lab called Japanese authorities, who deemed that it was legal because there is no law against cannibalism in their country.
Well, I'm a little confused. How much is 100,000 whatever yen? That isn't very
much. I don't
know
what it crosses. Yeah, I don't know what it crosses over to.
I would want a lot more than that to give up. Of course, he's already given them up, so it's nothing to him.
Well, he considers himself asexual, which I didn't mention, which basically he doesn't consider himself male or female. So, but the point is that, of course, then again, Japanese, they kind of like the exquisite. Like there's a meal, it's a fish that's very poisonous. For example, the eyes are most poisonous. You get that in your skin, it could kill you almost immediately. And that's a delicacy in Japan. So, but I'm just thinking about
you.
It's
just I don't understand why he doesn't want more for it. He doesn't value his genitals very much, I don't think.
Well, like I say, I don't know what the crossover is for 100,000 yen, what that would equal up to. But apparently, there was five people that were willing to try it out.
Five people paid $100,000. Oh, that's another story.
Yeah.
Hey, if you could make enough money by chopping something off and feeding it to people to support yourself for the rest of your life, why not? $500,000, I could live on.
Well,
that.
Okay, we're in the age of recycling. Now, this is going to be kind of gross sounding, but you go to the hospital, you have your gallbladder removed. What the heck? Then normally they throw in the incinerator, but why waste it?
No, do they throw it in the incinerator, or do they use it?
No, they usually throw stuff like that in incinerators. If it's bad, they're not going to give it to somebody.
Oh, I see. Well, it might not be good to feed to somebody either. Who knows? Who cares? I don't intend to do that. I can't imagine my chopping something off and either eating it or feeding it to someone else. But I might be a little bit more conducive to doing something like that at $500,000 or $500,000 or $250,000 or whatever, $750,000, whatever it might be. It's going to have to be big bucks. But I might be more inclined to do it now that I'm really old and I don't fancy using any parts of me very much for much longer. But then, of course, I don't have much time to use the money either. So I don't know. I'm lost.
I guess you can honestly say, though, that he didn't have enough balls to cook the meal. Never mind. I'm sorry.
I wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't do it. Simple as that. Now, somebody else's, I might.
Yeah, there's some people I'd like to. Anyways, moving right along here as I'm putting my foot in my mouth. We've talked many times on this program that... Stop it. We've talked many times on this program, but kids given the opportunity are really pretty damn smart. And I just want to cover really two quick examples here. One of them, and of course, neither of these, unfortunately, are from the U.S. This one may be. Sho Yano, University of Chicago student, became the youngest medical doctor in the school's history. So I guess this is U.S., but he's a 21-year-old Chicago man who began college at 9 years old and medical school 3 years later, to become the youngest student ever awarded a medical doctorate by the University of Chicago. Shoyana was reading at the age of 2, writing at the age of 3, and composing music at the age of 5.
Wow.
So that's kind of impressive. And then in London, and again, I'm going to bastardize everybody's name again. I'm going to skip his first name because I can't pronounce it. But a 16-year-old German boy, Ray, while working on a school project, was recently labeled a genius for solving a mathematical problem that was posed by Sir Isaac Newton more than 300 years ago by calculating exactly the path of a projectile under gravity and subject to air resistance, which has stumped mathematicians for centuries. Ray won a research award for his efforts and been labeled a genius by the German media, but he put it down as to just curiosity and school board naivety. When it was explained to us that the problems had no solutions, he thought to himself, well, there's no harm in trying. So at 16 years old, he solved Isaac Newton's quiz problem.
Well, we got to put him on the television show, Mythbusters.
Mythbusters. The only thing I have to say is, sorry, Barney, but the BS about I love you, you love me, just doesn't cut it anymore.
What?
I love you, you love me, I'm a purple dinosaur and I can't stand you. So,
oh, I
dumbing down. Okay.
I don't know any of those things because I don't have any little kids and haven't hung around with any for a long time. Anyway, I believe that the things have changed as far as how we can do things and what we can do and the tools we have to do them with. So I can see something that hadn't been solved for 100 years or so or less than that could be done by a student today.
Yeah, but the thing is that, see, my personal opinion, they raise the kids to be stupid. Kids are smart if given the opportunity, and these are two examples that kind of back that up. But instead, which will lead into one of our stories that we're going to talk about, you know, when you treat people like they're idiots or don't challenge them, then they don't use their full potential. And that's kind of, in my opinion, going on what's in the news and the buzz in the talk shows this week from Michael Bloomberg in New York, who is proposing eliminating soft drinks larger than 16 ounces at restaurants, stadiums, delis, and movie theaters citywide. Bloomberg is saying that more than half of New York City adults, 58%, are overweight or obese, and we're going to do something about it. His office also cited that Americans consume more than 200 to 300 more calories every day than they did 30 years ago. Well, a lot's changed in 30 years. Anyways, if the proposal becomes law, businesses would be forced to comply as early as June 2013 and may face violations of $200 per offense. Now, the ban will not apply to convenience stores, grocery stores, or drug stores at this time. And you can also, there is no limit to how many drinks you wish to buy. They just cannot be any larger than 16 ounces. The proposal defines energy drinks, or divides sugary drinks, and beverages that are sweetened with sugar or other caloric sweeteners that contain more than 25 calories per fluid ounce and contain less than 51% milk or milk substitute by volume as an ingredient. This does not include diet sodas or diet-based drinks.
This is so stupid. This is just beyond stupid because you can still drink as many of them as you want. You just can't buy certain sizes of them. You can still, it does nothing. First of all, obesity has nothing to do with your intelligence ratio, virtually nothing. And second of all, it doesn't accomplish anything by doing this thing. You haven't changed anything. You can still buy, if somebody wants to drink a soda pop, they can drink 10 little ones or one big one. It doesn't make any difference. They can take 10 little ones and pour them into a big cup and drink them all at once. It just doesn't make it. It's stupid. Just totally stupid.
Well, Bloomberg, he says the whole point in doing this is that when you go in and buy like a 32-ounce or 44-ounce Big Gulp or something like that from 7-Eleven, that you're not really thinking about how many calories you're doing it, and by forcing people to actually buy two drinks instead of one, it's going to make it more in your face kind of a thing, just how much sugar you're ingesting. But I agree with you. It's more the food police.
I've got this,
go ahead.
An answer to the whole thing. Let's not sell drinks in the in restaurants, drive-up restaurants or walk-in restaurants. Let's make you drink water. I mean, that's just stupid because you can go anywhere else and buy it, and you will. So that's just stupid. I've often thought Bloomberg was an intelligent person, but I just put that aside entirely and positively. He is totally stupid in this case. He is.
Well,
you can't. I can't imagine how stupid.
How are they going to enforce it? Are they going to have a soda task force going around and going, I'm sorry, but that container that you are selling is 17 ounces or may hold 17 ounces of fluid. And then it's going to tie up the court. Anybody challenges the ticket or citation?
And first of all, I heard a thing on the radio this morning where a person got upset at wearing the grocery store, and the person in front of them bought a bunch of soda pop and a bunch of potato chips and donuts, and they bought them on food stamps. And he said, well, you shouldn't be able to buy that sort of thing on food stamps. Well, that's, you know, just because you're giving people the food stamps doesn't mean you can control what they eat. What will happen is they'll buy other things on food stamps, and they'll buy those with cash. It doesn't make any difference. You're going to eat what you're going to eat, and that is not a possibility of a problem. And they keep telling me how obese people cost us so much money. I've got to figure out where. Where do they cost us so much money? They don't cost us so much money. And they say, well, okay, because obese people are ill. Obese people have illnesses more often. They go to the hospital more often. They pay for it, too. They don't, you know, whole conversation is totally stupid.
Well, and also it could create a new business, too, because it says that they can't serve drinks that are more 16 ounces. But I didn't see anywhere where it says they couldn't sell the cup separately.
Oh well, you're getting around to ways to get around it. I mean, they're not going to try to get around it because they'll get in trouble. The restaurant itself will get in trouble because they'll have people watching for that sort of thing constantly. But there's so much many other ways of getting around it. You can buy a six pack of whatever you want, and they're small containers, and you can just put them all in your own cup, or not even put them in a cup. Put them in a cup one at a time, or drink them one at a time. I mean, that's just makes no sense at all. And the idea of telling people what they can buy and what they can eat is just ridiculous. You can't do that. That's why we've got to change our president. That's why we've got to change the people who are in charge, because that's what Obama wants to do. He wants to make it his job to tell us what we can eat and what we can't eat and when and where. And I'm not for that. I'm not for that at all.
Well, you make a good point. I don't know what Obama has to do with it, but the point in general is that right now we're going through recessions. Oregon, for example. Oregon's hurting for money, and they don't have the money for basic services. They're cutting back on police, fire. The Eugene's cutting back on the medical examiner. Is okay, when you have limited resources, the primary role of government, in my opinion, is the protection and well-being of its citizens and its infrastructure. And when you're designating, when your resources are tight and you're designating resources for stuff like how much soft drinks that somebody can drink, you know, try to do regulation from that, you know, try to fix stupid or regulate stupid, so to speak, then that's where you're right. That's where we need to relook at government and go, what is government's role? What do we want from government? Well, I'm like you. I don't want government to tell me that I can't go and buy a 32-ounce soda. You know, like you say, screw you, I'll buy two of them or whatever, but don't tell me. Go fix something else. Go fix those potholes that we have to keep driving around if you want to do anything. Go protect my home. Because like in Eugene, for example, Eugene is the car theft capital of the United States, so one of the top 10. Are we doing anything about that? Not really, but we have a task force that goes around in Springfield. It's a 9-member task force that goes after prostitutes. It's like, you know, it's like leave Victoria alone. She's the only prostitute we got.
Well, it's not accomplishing anything to go after the prostitutes because they are there. If Victoria, as you say, is doing this of her own accord, if she's being forced into it by someone, that's another point. But if she's doing it for her own accord just to make money or however she wants to do this, that's her problem. That's her privilege. That's her problem to solve. And we can use that money that we've got going after her to do other things. And believe me, we've got many other things we could use it for. So we shouldn't be using it to spend that time. But that's the Obama administration, that's their thing, is they want to control what we can do and how we can do it and when. And that's the thing that I don't like about that administration, because that's what the administration is working towards, is all these rules and regulations in order to make things better at this particular point. For example, for jobs, I mean, that's what we've got to do is create more jobs, because here we are, 69,000 jobs is what we acquired last week. That's down. That's way, way, way down. You need to have 200,000 jobs every year just to maintain an even keel. And we were at 69,000. That's way under. So consequently, we lost a lot of footage there. And
yes,
we should be spending our time on that. We should be spending our time on that because Obama is – got so many regulations. If he could get rid of a lot of these regulations, and he's never done anything, he's talked about it. I've heard him talk about it on his speeches, but I've never seen anything that he's done to try to get rid of the rules and regulations that control what we do and how we think and everything else. He's not done anything in that role as a president to get rid of these regulations. That's what we could do to actually make a difference. When people can when employers know what's going to happen from day to day, then they might be willing to hire someone. But they're not going to do it if they don't know what's going to be there. They don't know what their taxes are going to be. They don't know from day to day what's going to happen, because Obama doesn't do anything in advance. He doesn't even figure out a budget in advance. I mean, it's a total loss. We've got to do something.
Yeah, the soundbite president. Speaking of doing things in advance, as we're over 30 minutes into the program, and we failed to do one thing. Here's a test. What is it?
646-721-9887. If you'd like to call and give us your opinion, because you've got to have an opinion on something like this. 646-721-9887.
Call collect or direct. Operators are standing by.
No.
And, of course, if you're listening to the program as on the archives, you can always contribute to the program by sending us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. And be sure to visit our website, too, caribbeanradio.com.
Call Robin. If you're calling collect, don't call me.
Yeah, I can turn down a collect call. No, we won't accept collect calls. But call us.
Anyway, I get pretty upset about the fact that we have no leadership whatsoever. This whole business of leading from behind is a complete loss and complete unreality, because we got people doing nothing. We don't know what's going to happen from day to day, whether it's being individuals who don't know what's going to happen from day to day, or whether it's different businesses that don't know what's going to happen from day to day. Granted, people with lots and lots of money don't care, because they can do what they want to. But a business, a small business nowadays that's here to make a living, you got to know what's going to happen from day to day. And we don't. We have no idea what our taxes are going to be. We have no idea what almost anything is going to be, because Mr. Obama hasn't put it out there. He doesn't. We've got to get somebody with some stability.
Well, is it just me, or I don't recall any president working to be in the news every day.
Well, I don't know that we do either. I imagine Reagan was pretty close to that. He was in the news almost all the time, and Mr. Clinton was too. That was not. I don't care about that. If he'll at least let somebody else handle the reins and make some decisions, but I don't care who he does who gets to make the decisions and come up with decisions, but make a decision and stick to it. That's the point.
Well, he is. His decision is to screw us, and he's working on that. It's control.
Well, I just don't think he has any idea what's going on. And people say, well, I saw on television today, someone said, well, just having a business background in business doesn't mean that you could run the country. 3 years of running the country has not put Mr. Obama in a position of being able to run the country either. It has not made him much more intelligent than he was before. It hasn't even made him much more learned than he was before. He's just completely lost, I think. And he's got too many people. He's got people talking to him from both sides, and he can't decide on which side to listen to, so consequently he isn't doing anything. That's the only thing I can put it. That's how I figure it out.
Well, and that's what a lot of people say, that if he goes on vacation, he can't do any damage. Well, he's figured a way around that, too.
Well, that's right, because he doesn't let anybody do anything when he's on vacation. See, that's the thing. He doesn't he listens to everybody and can't make up his mind, but he doesn't let anybody else make up his mind either. So we're stuck in the middle. And we've got to get somebody who's capable of making a decision and sticking with it. And I'm hoping that Mr. Romney does that and can do that. I don't know. I take heart on the fact that he ran the Olympics for a while and made decisions there, or at least gave the people or hired people who could make decisions and let them one way or another. And in his own businesses, he hired people who could make decisions and let them do it. But Mr. Obama hasn't got the experience of doing any of those things. And so we've got to find a way to get him out. And that doesn't make any difference, because at this point, with an 8.2% and an unemployment rate, we probably don't think we have any problems with him being reelected.
Well, I know he's having trouble attracting a crowd whenever he speaks, but anyways, I want to kind of move on to one of the other topics that we have here. Again, 646-721-9887 if you would like to participate on this, or if you have something else you'd like to bring up, we'd love to hear from you. We can always change directions, and often do. 646-721-9887. And the Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court of Appeals, for the First Circuit, sitting in Boston, ruled that the Defense of Marriage Act, denial of same-sex couples of federal benefits enjoyed by straight couples in Massachusetts, is unconstitutional. So what do you think about that?
I don't know that I understood what you said. You want to say it? Can you say it again?
Okay, the U.S. Court of Appeals, First Circuit, sitting in Boston, ruled that the Defense of Marriage Act denial to same-sex couples of federal benefits enjoyed by straight couples in Massachusetts is unconstitutional. The court said that there was a lack of any demonstrated connection between the Defense of Marriage Act treatment of same-sex couples, as it asserted its goal of straightening the bond between the benefits to society of heterosexual marriage.
You've said two or three different things that seem to they cancel each other. The fact that the first part you said they denied the fact that it made a difference. So same-sex couples could be given the same things that I want to say interracial, but not interracial.
Well, to sum it up, basically, they're saying that moral disapproval cannot by itself form the grounds for discriminatory legislation, says the court. Notably, the court did not declare any constitutional right to same-sex marriage, and it did not adopt the argument made by the plaintiffs of the Defense of Marriage Act was motivated purely by bias against gay people. So,
You're reading legalese, and it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's why it's legalese. It's not supposed to make sense.
Oh. If they're saying that it's okay for gay couples to marry and get the same benefits that everybody else, then I agree. If they're not saying that, I don't agree.
Well, just in general, because President Obama, for example, announced that he was in favor of gay marriage. And in fact, Time magazine tagged him as being the first gay president, which I don't know where they got that act. As,
he said he was in favor, but he said he didn't care.
He didn't care, right, which was a change in his opinion from before where he was totally against it.
Well, he's at least got some sense there. He doesn't make any sense to be against it. I mean, we're slowly but surely everybody's gaining the idea that, you know, what people do is their own sense. If you want to make a if you're saying that there's a religious problem with it, then you're making it a religious law, and you can't do that. That's against the rules, and so consequently, you've got to leave religion out of it. And if you leave religion out of it, it makes sense that anybody who decides to get married should have the same benefits of anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree. But, you know, some of the arguments against it is that, okay, well, if you start off with allowing marriage between same sex, then why not have people marry more than one person or marry animals or, you know, how they take it to the extreme?
First of all, we've got a law already on the books that says you can't marry more than one person. That's bigamy, and that's been a law for forever. As far as marrying animals is concerned, that's fine. If they want to be stupid enough to marry an animal, then let them marry an animal. If they can figure out how to get the animal to have the same rights and things as a human being, then let them figure it out. We don't need to worry about it. I can't see that being a problem. And so consequently, taking it to that direction is just sort of ridiculous just to even think about it. But as far as multiple partners is concerned, we've had a rule on the books for that forever. So that's out of the question as well. And so consequently, it doesn't accomplish anything to say same-sex marriage is bad or good or otherwise, and it shouldn't have any difference if it's a human being or if it's a person who can receive the benefits of the law, then they should be able to.
So in other words, it's like saying that you can legally marry any type of homo sapien that you want, but as long as they're able to consent, and if you decide you want to marry Fido, when it comes down to the part that do you, Fido, take so-and-so to be your lawfully wedded whatever, Fido's probably not going to sit there and go, I do. He's probably just going to sit there and go, sure. Oof.
Yeah. Plus the fact, how do you give him the benefits? How do you make sure that he accepts the benefits? I mean, the benefits have got to be changed to fit Fido, and that doesn't happen. The benefits can't be changed. The benefits are the same for any other human being, regardless of what sex they are, but the benefits are not the same for you and a donkey, for example. A donkey would have to have different benefits than you do, and that doesn't count. So we've put aside the whole problem.
Now, that would be an interesting legislation. When you're filling out a form, it's a spouse, male, female, species.
Well, we don't have to worry about that for a while yet until we get extraterrestrials in here and people of a different species. Then we're going to have to worry about that. But until we are getting to that point, we shouldn't put that on the side. We should put it aside, rather, and not worry about it at this point.
Well, speaking of not worry about it, let's see what our caller thinks about that. So area code 503, welcome to the program.
How's it going, guys? Chris calling from Denver. I wanted to get your guys' take on the Defense of Marriage Act. I just kind of tuned in, but wanted to kind of get where you guys are coming from ideologically.
Well, personally, I'm in favor of it. And I think that, there's a whole different thing. I mean, marriage can just be more than just in the bedroom scene. It could just be two people that just care for each other. And also, if you have assets, for example, and you don't have any other family, if something happens to you, the state gets your assets. So I'm in favor of it.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's like folks that don't really support gay marriage, you know, I've come a long way on this topic, and you know, one thing, you know, it's like I always ask him, you know, for example, I have an 84-year-old great uncle of mine, and he's been living with his same-sex partner for the better part of about 50 years now. You know, I mean, how would that ruin, you know, I don't know if you're married, but your marriage or, you know, my friend's marriage or any other, you know, married people I know, how would that affect their marriage?
I can't see it affecting the marriage in any way, shape, or form. The only thing I can see it putting in a position to do is that if one of them is gone, it gives the other person the benefit of whatever he was. It's not even a matter of money or a matter of things. It's a matter of love, for that matter, because it's just how he feels and what he's taking away from this. But also, I don't believe it's up to the government to decide. I don't believe it's the government who's going to make up a decision as to whether or not they're married. Legally, yeah. Yes, but whether or not they're married is not the government's decision. It's their decision.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, I think it was a 34, all the 34 OECD countries in America, marriage is typically, I mean, like you said, legally defined by marriage, you know, by wills, trust, estates, medical rights, et cetera. But as far as the actual marriage, I mean, that was left to local, you know, private churches, private organizations. They're the ones that would, you know, issue marriage certificates. And, of course, you know, you get it notarized by your local county, you know, official for the legal reasons. But I hear evangelicals tell all the time, you know, well, it's just not natural. Well, you know, you get down to a biological level and they can't procreate. I'm thinking to myself, you know, if I turn 40, and I get a vasectomy, or if I get married and my wife becomes sterile, should we not be able to marry? Because marriage is only typically defined by procreation.
Well, there's a lot more to marriage than just procreation, as far as I'm concerned. There's a lot more feeling than just procreating. First of all, this has been going on since the beginning of time, and it's going on a lot more than we know about, I'm sure. So to let the government decide doesn't make any difference. That's not going to make it better one way or another. The religions decide, that's a problem, because we're not supposed to let religions control something like this. We're supposed to have separation from religion and state. Consequently, we're letting religion step into one position of issuing licenses, and they shouldn't be able to do that.
I mean, even if you get into the religious issue, you know, I mean, I have no problem with the Catholic Church saying, you know, if you're going to be a member of the Catholic Church, you know, I don't want you to go off marrying gays. I mean, it's a private organization, you know. You're part of religion, you want to follow those rules. But, I mean, even if you want to argue the Catholic Church, you know, or the religious view and, frankly, biblical account of marriage, I mean, David had 700 wives, or, you know, in the New Testament, Paul said he thought the elders of the church, you know, probably have one wife, but another, you know, wasn't necessarily, you know, inappropriate. Or even in the Old Testament, you know, your rapist was defined as your husband, and you must, you know, get your loyalty to him. So, I mean, even a biblical account, I mean, the definition of marriage has changed time and again. I mean, we came together in the 1960s and we said, you know, this misogynist attitude that, you know, women could marry black men. I mean, prior to that, the whole notion was that, you know, it would be getting rid of the, you know, expensive marriage from a pragmatic viewpoint, I mean, it's like you said, it should be about, you know, will, trust, state, things of that nature. But, you know, the laws applicable to separate church and state should hold the marriage. I mean, the government should treat you no different, you know, married, single, gay or straight or any possible combination of your life choice. And, you know, the very fact that government taxes married and single people at a different rate, I don't know if you guys knew that, is a direct, you know, violation of the Constitution. All this is equal treatment law. So,
and to take it to the extreme, this is according to 2002 ABC News, about 1 in 45,000 children are born without a clear identifiable sex. So if you are born deformed or in some way, like you say, you can't appropriate, well, then that would not come under the church's definition like you mentioned earlier, for marriage. And so does that mean that person would be banned for life for legally marrying anybody? I mean, taking it to the extreme.
Well, if we're talking about religions, I'd be afraid to extrapolate what I thought religions would do. They'd probably just put them to death or something. I don't have much faith in religion.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, could a birth defect, you know, keep you from beginning married? If you were to take it to the extreme.
They would take it to an extreme than that. Other than that, it would probably take it to the extreme that it would bar you from living. So consequently, you can't put it in the case of religion. But what I'm saying is, religion, we're letting religions hand out the marriage certificates, I think they should be totally separate. The religions can do whatever they want to for marriage, but it has totally a different thing to do than the government's idea of what marriage is. And they shouldn't be put together as one piece. And when you've got the religions handing out the licenses, then you've got the religions more or less putting down the rules. And that's a problem in my book.
Okay. Chris, you got any comment on that? Okay.
He must have went home.
Yeah, anyways, moving right along. No, like I say, taking it to the extreme and everything. And Chris, thank you for the call. Taking it to the extreme and everything from my point of view, you know, when you find somebody that you really love and care about, it doesn't matter what their gender is or whether or not they can appropriate or not, is that, you know, when you care about somebody that you want to spend your life with, but, you know, the laws in defense of the marriage, the laws prevent you. Like, for example, same-sex couples, if something happens to the other couple, let's say they get into an accident or something medical, unless they're listed in a will, and I'm not sure how that will work, that they have no say in the treatment or care of your partner, you know, unless you are, you know, bonded by marriage and other decisions that you make during your life. And I think that's part of the argument here, that it doesn't matter, in my opinion, you know, male, female, or male, female, female, or whatever, that if you pick a person and you're truly in love with that person, then why not allow it?
That's why I believe that the idea of marriage should not be a government idea. The government should put together unions, civil unions or whatever unions of two people. Should not, if you wish to not call it marriage, don't call it marriage. Just call it a union of two people. And that's the government side product. The religious product could be marriage, if you want to call it marriage or whatever you want to do. But they should be separate things. A civil union that a government recognizes could control whether you can, what you can do and what laws you can do and what responsibilities you have and don't have. That's completely separate from what the religions require or religions allow if you have a religious marriage. So I think that we should be separating them totally. Pretty soon we're going to have to do that because the religions are suing now. We've got the Catholic Church suing the government, and it's ridiculous. But, you know, if anything, the government is suing the Catholic Church for various things, but we've got giving the Catholic Church way too much authority and position in what's happening in our lives.
Right, I totally agree with that. In fact, you'd think the government would be all in favor of that, because then that's just more people they can do the marriage penalty on the taxes.
That's true. that gets into another story about taxes, believe me. Although at this particular point, we're in that position as to everything. Well, we need to have money. There's so many things that that I got going through my mind about taxes, because we don't have enough of them, and yet we have way too much of them. We don't have enough of them because we have 12 million people out of work. When you got 12 million people out of work not paying taxes, then we're in trouble. We don't have enough money to go around. And it's not because of the people. It's not because we don't charge enough taxes or anything else. It's just because we're not doing a job of getting the people back to work. And that goes back to the president, I think. The president can do a lot.
646-721-9887, 34 minutes remaining in the program. Still time to, like Chris, give us a call, 646-721-9887, and your comments on this or anything else that you wish to bring up. We got plenty of time to do it. 646-721-9887.
If you've got an opinion on how to put this whole thing together, let's figure it out amongst us right now, and then we can perhaps pass it along to whomever's going to be president in a few months from now, because it is going to, I think, change, or whether it does or doesn't. We can put our opinions across. For example, let's get rid of a few rules and regulations. That's going to make a huge difference regarding who gets hired and who doesn't get hired, and what businesses start up and what businesses don't start up, and what businesses hire, because you've got to have some stability in what's going on in the country. And our country right now is not in a position of stability. We don't know what's going to happen from day to day, from week to week. We don't know what's going to happen from hour to hour, almost at times. But we've got to find out. We've got to have some stability in there. And we've got to put somebody in there in office, regardless of what office, not just the presidential office, but our senators and our House of Representatives. We've got to get people there who have an idea. And we've got to, again, we've got to get back to putting a person in a government position. See, I this scares me to death. See, we've got to do something like Great Britain does. We sit here and we're celebrating 60 years of office for the Queen Elizabeth. She's been in office for 60 years. For 60 years, as long as I can remember, in fact, longer than I can remember, we've had the same queen. That's fine. That's great. Because she doesn't run the country. She literally does not run the country. The parliament does. That and that, the parliament, we change that on a regular basis. We change the people who run the country on a regular basis and let one person over all. So that's okay. It's okay to have a queen, but we don't have that problem. We don't have that situation. So consequently, we have to do something about changing people on a regular basis. We can't let one person stay as a senator for 16 or 30 years. That's got to stop. There's got to be a time limit on it.
Let me ask you this then, you know, talking about the monarchy and stuff. We're supposed to be a republic. We're not a monarchy. But the way we talk about the presidency, it's almost like it is a monarchy. You know, the president won't do this, the president's doing that, and we have to convince the president for such and such. I thought the president's powers, the idea is that his powers were, he's supposed to be a leader, not a ruler.
Well, that's true. He is supposed to be a leader and not a ruler, but he's also supposed to follow in the rules and regulations as far as powers are concerned. He has certain powers that he's not supposed to go beyond, and he's already, you know, told us to go to hell. He's already told us he's going to do this and do that, regardless of what the Constitution, regardless of what everybody says, he's going to do this. And we're letting him do it. So it's our own stupid fault. We're letting him do it. He's going out and making rules and making laws and instilling things that we're letting him do. And yet our Constitution doesn't allow him to do that. What are we doing? What kind of stupid, pardon me, I'm getting a little carried away. What kind of stupidity do we have when we allow our republic, our president to do things this? And we're not, I thought we were a democracy, not, you know, any of these other things.
Well, and that's the whole point. And I've brought this up many times on the show, too, like the birther incident. Okay, yeah, it's too late to worry about it now. Are we talking about preventing it in the future? Are we talking about learning from our past, especially the last 3 years? If we are, I haven't heard anything about it. You know, why aren't we getting more involved? Why aren't, like Cliff says, I'm trying to remember what Nancy Pelosi, who needs to be retired, by the way, came out and...
Well, there's only one person that I know that doesn't believe that Obama isn't born in the United States, and that's Mr. Trump. He's the one who keeps bringing it up. Everybody else believes he is. He's already, you know, pretty well proven it. He's already given long form. The Hawaii has given it the information. I mean, we've pretty well proven the fact that he is a birther.
Yeah, but they've also, a document that came out that President Obama was involved in writing that said he was born in Kenya. I don't want to argue the point on that at the moment, but the whole point is that why are we even arguing about the birth certificate? Is that should be something that should be so easy to resolve. Is that, you know, when you go down for anything, you go down in Oregon, you go get a driver's license, you've got to show a birth certificate to get a driver's license. You don't get a birth certificate. So to be a president of the United States, shouldn't you have to show all this stuff right in the beginning?
Well, see, that's the point. I mean, why are we even bringing it up again? Because he has shown it. He has proved it. He has done it. Now, and yet we still keep bringing it up. We still keep talking.
Well, we bring it up because it took so long to get it. It's like I'm saying, is that it shouldn't be that big of a deal. Is that, you know, you're running for the top office in the nation.
What difference does it make to get it? What difference does it make how long it takes to get it? He's got it. He's done it. Leave it alone. Move on.
Yeah, it took over two years to get it. Over 2 years to get it. Well, the point is that for me to even get a job, I have to, before they start giving me a paycheck, I have to show that I have the right to work in the United States. Well, there is no law that I'm aware of that says that you have to show that you have the right to work in the United States to hold a public office. Except for the presidents of the United States, where it says you have to be naturally born here.
Okay, so I'll agree with you. I'll say I'm sorry that you have to give up your rights to begin with, and he doesn't. But now let's get over it. Let's move on. Let's find out other things that he's doing. Let's get him out of there on more logical reasons.
So why are we pushing? Like I said, 3.5 years. Even if it turns out that he's not eligible or whatever, okay, fine. We've already done that. But we got a 2012 or 2013 election. Well, whatever. We got an election coming up in November. Shouldn't we be pushing to make sure that before the next person takes office, whether even if it's Obama again, which I hope not, that they show that we have these criteria that says, okay, fine, you won the election. Fill out your I-9 form. Be sure you have everything documented that you are eligible to take the office. And then we don't have to go through wasting time trying to figure out if the person we elected is even a citizen and holds a right to have the office.
Okay, that's fine. That's all well and good. But I think there are a lot more important things to worry about than whether the guy has a right to take the office. I don't believe that Romney is going to be taking the office and we're going to find out that he's born somewhere else. I don't believe that that's going to be something that happens very often. I agree with you, we should be doing something about it. But I also agree that there are many things that are much, much, much more important that we should be worrying about than that.
That having an imposter or non-citizen in our highest office?
We're already
questioning some of the, you know, originally when the offices was created, you know, Congress, the House, et cetera, it was considered an honor to serve, and you went there for to service the United States. You know, you went there to be patriotic and to help the country. Now it's become a self-serving millionaire-making club that they don't care about anything else but themselves. I mean, there are some that do. Don't get me wrong. I'm not putting everybody in the same pot. But, you know, a lot of people go in there with very little money, and they come out millionaires and set for the rest of their lives. Where do
well,
I
apply? That's another story entirely. I lost you.
No, I'm still here.
Well, I lost the last part you said.
Oh, no, you were talking. I was shutting up while you were talking.
Okay.
I do that from time to time. When I'm not jumping over top of you, I shut up while you're talking.
The point is, we've already gone to that point with Mr. Obama, and I think we need to move along. I mean, I really think that we've carried it too far. We've got so many things that we have to solve, so many things to take care of. If somebody else gets into a position of taking an office that isn't, we find out, we have a doubt about, I think we should just kick his butt out and have it over with. No questions asked. I mean, we shouldn't go put up with this again. But there is, doesn't it say you have to be a citizen of the United States to run for office? I mean, isn't that spelled out in the rules and regulations right at the beginning? That's a law, isn't it?
I don't think it is. It is a law to run for office, to hold office. You're talking about the presidency?
Any office. I mean,
no.
House
and Senate. I have to look that up, but no. Just like, one of the people we had on the show for a while.
That's unacceptable because she's a small. I mean, that was a Lane County commissioner. Nobody cares about the Lane County commissioner. But somebody as important as a senator, somebody important as a senator, and somebody important as a House representative or a president, they have to be. Again, I don't think we should be even talking about it.
Well, that's what I'm saying is that it shouldn't be an issue. And the issues that do come up, especially over the last 3 years, we should be learning from them.
Well,
and it seems like we're not. That's my whole point about bringing it up.
But you keep bringing it up instead of telling somebody about it.
Well, bring it up, my point is, go ahead. I'm shutting up. Go ahead.
Right to your senator. Right to your senator or your House or your representative or somebody in the government that counts. Write to them and ask them what they're doing about it.
Well, that's the thing. Are they doing anything about it?
You won't know unless you write to them.
Well, how do we know that people haven't? That's my point.
What?
Anyways, U.S. Constitution, Article 2, Section 1, no person except a natural-born citizen or citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of this Constitution shall be eligible to the office of president. Neither shall any person be eligible to the office who shall not have attained the age of 35 years old and been 14 years a resident within the United States.
Okay, so that says it. That totally says it. So once he's proved, and he has, according to every rule and regulation, according to the state of Hawaii, which is where he was from, according to them, and according to that rule and law, he has proved that he is a citizen of the United States. We're arguing about nothing.
Well, except the fact that they're questioning that the document is legit, and the president has also put out documentation that he was born in Kenya.
No, he what he says in a book doesn't count because he in a book there's nothing about the book that says he has to be truthful. And first of all, he's a politician, so he doesn't have to be truthful. The truthful part is the state of Hawaii who has issued the document that shows he is a citizen. They have to be truthful. He doesn't have to be truthful. He's a politician. He lies constantly, and we know that. We know he lies constantly in everything he does, everything he says, every mouthful that he utters. He reads it off of the thing, teleprompter, and doesn't pay any attention to later on when he's actually doing something as a human being. He just says what he wants to say and then goes on about doing what he wants to do, totally separate things. We know that. So consequently, we don't believe what he's written or what he said at any time in a book or something like that. We just ignore that because it doesn't mean anything.
So is that the same thing about saying that if I tell you that I'm lying, but I'm telling the truth because I'm lying, but I'm really telling the truth?
That means that I don't know and I don't care. I assume from this point on that you're lying. Regardless of what
you're saying. This is kind of interesting, too. I didn't know this. Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution says three qualifications for representatives. Each representative must, one, be at least 25 years old, two, have been a citizen of the United States for the past 7 years, and three, at the time of the election, inhabitant of the state they represent. Members are not required to live in the district they represent, but they traditionally do. So you can be, I didn't know that, that, you know.
So basically, it's all spelled out in the law already. And so all he had to do is prove that it was the case. And the only thing he can do is have Hawaii, who is required by law to prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt. He can lie about it if he wants to, but the proof has to be, and I guess it's Hawaii's responsibility to prove it.
Then I get back to the first argument. If it's not such a big deal, why did he make it such a big deal? I mean, for $25, most of the time in 30 days, you can get a copy of your birth certificate. Why wait 2 years to resolve, 2 years and a whole bunch of media harassment to go ahead and solve that issue?
Maybe he thought it wasn't worth his time. He figured it had already been taken care of. He figured it was already, you know, standard procedure. He released a short form right up front, but he didn't release a long form, and it was Donald Trump. How do we let Donald Trump get away with any of this crap? It's not a Donald Trump thing. Donald Trump is no better than anybody else. I don't want to call him names, but he is not worth looking at. And he's the one that's, he keeps putting out all this information, and we keep listening, and we need to put him aside. I mean, just because he has money doesn't make him listenable, doesn't make him honest, doesn't make him anything.
No, except that he's got a swelled head big enough he has to watch out for sharp objects. But no, when Donald Trump hinted that he was running or going to run for office, people got really excited because we were so desperate for, at least in my opinion, we were so desperate for a quality candidate to get in there and somebody that we feel we can vote for, that we would take just about anybody. You know, personally, I wanted Herman Cain just because of his background. But of course, he got attacked big time and had to bow out.
To be honest with you, at this particular point, the crap that Donald Trump has run us through has eliminated any possibility of him running for anything in the future. In my opinion, I don't think he could get elected to dog catcher.
He played America for a fool just to promote his own TV program.
Right, and we fell for it.
Right.
As Herman Cain is concerned, I'm not exactly sure what happened with Herman Cain. I believe he wanted out of it in the first place. He was in over his head and didn't know what he was going to do and decided to step out of it, and this gave him a reason to do that. Maybe there was something more involved in the people that he was messing with that we didn't know about, but basically he put it behind him because he just simply stepped down. That's fine. That's his prerogative. But on the same token, I would like to see somebody else in there. And I at this particular point, people have imposed their opinion that Romney is going to be the man who does it. I'd like to give him a chance. He's a possibility. I don't want to say, I'm afraid to say he can't hurt, but yeah, I mean, we'll go through that again, but I believe he's smart enough to know more than that. He's built businesses. He's put them together. And I know he hasn't gone out and built a business one brick by brick or anything like that. He has enough smarts to hire the people to make the decisions to build the businesses and to make them work. Then he's done that over and over again and proven that he's possibly done it right. Then he took it and went to brick by brick and step by step and literally proved to us that he could do a job by running the Olympics and proving to us that it worked again. He put it back together and made it work. So that to me is enough to qualify him for being able to put this whole thing, the United States, back together again. He's capable of hiring the right people, of choosing the right people, and one of the things is he's capable enough, we'll put enough people in place in the Senate and in the House to back him up, hopefully, that it could possibly happen and it could possibly work out. I think he could make it work, and we should give him the chance.
Well, I agree. You know, in my opinion, what makes a successful businessman, or person rather, is that, number one, you can't do everything. And to realize that, you know, is a big step, because you could be really great at your trade. You could be lousy at advertising or running your business. You could be good at running a business and lousy at your trade. So that's why you delegate. And you hire the people that are experts in their fields, but you also have your checks and balances that you oversee what they're doing. And with all that, you can grow a business. But if you don't have that formula in place, you're doomed to fail. And that's where I think we are now.
Well, we're doomed to fail right now. But I think
right.
Romney has that ability to find the right people, to put them in place, to make them responsible, and to get the job done. And even with – now, I agree you're at this point – you're working with a problem from the very beginning, because you're working with a bunch of politicians. Politicians don't tell you the truth. We know that. And for some reason or other, we as a people have accepted that. We've accepted the fact that politicians don't tell us the truth, and we don't do anything about it. I'm not sure why we've accepted that or why we let that happen, but we still do. But consequently, hopefully he can work with politicians to make them responsible for doing the job and getting the job done.
I can tell you exactly why. Because typically, I mean, we're kind of going along in our own little lives. You know, we go to work, we try to get enough money to pay the bills. The economy's gotten to the point that it takes two and a half people now just to kind of make ends meet, where before, you know, one person could stay home and watch the kids and the other person goes to work. And you basically do your little thing, and government takes care of itself, and it's not in your face. When the economy gets bad, or they start passing new laws and regulations that directly affect your life, then you have to start getting involved. And that's kind of what the government's doing. They're going beyond their role of government, like putting limits on the size of soft drinks you can have, instead of protecting the infrastructure. And I know I'm not explaining it very well, but I hope you get the gist of what I'm trying to say.
I understand, and I agree that we should be spending our time worrying about, the infrastructure, amongst other things. We should be worrying about those than worrying about whether the size of the soft drinks is good or bad or indifferent. We should totally... for one thing, we should have other people in there than would choose to take umbrage with the size of drink. Our government officials, our legislators, should be more involved with running the government than telling us what size of soft drink we should have. That's not the problem we should have. They keep telling me that all of these things will cost us money down the line. I don't believe that. It's not costing us money down the line. It's making them money down the line that's doing the job.
No, I totally agree with you, and I think you explained it a lot better. In other words, government should not be involved in our daily lives, telling us what we can, we can't eat. You know, like Michelle Obama, who's all of a sudden became the nutrition queen or whatever, trying to put limits on what we can do as far as what we put in our mouths. You know, if we want to be obese, then like you said, you're affecting yourself. Yeah, if you wind up in a hospital and you don't have the money to pay for the insurance, well, yeah, that comes out of the taxes or the general funds or wherever the money comes from, or the hospitals themselves take the loss. But then again, there's other things, too, that not just obesity, that cost the hospitals money or cost us. We can get into I won't go through the whole list. We only have 10 minutes remaining in the program. Speaking of 646-721-9887, the thing is that government should get out of the way you know, do what they originally were designed to do, get out of the way, let America fix itself. And and kind of on that same token, I want to kind of slightly switch gears here. In the White House recently, there was I forget which hall or which room it is, but it's where they have pictures of all the presidents, portraits of all the presidents. And recently, George Bush's picture was added to that collection, and President Obama giving his speech, commemorating the portrait. What was kind of interesting listening to the speech is that during the whole president's speech, it was me, I. Thank you, former President Bush, for making the transition into my office a lot easier. And then when George Bush came up and spoke, he didn't do the self-centered thing. He just threw a few jokes like it kind of completed the circle. We started the thing with GW, and we're ending it with GW.
Well, I agree. President Bush, either the Bushes, were much more humble than Obama is, and did take more consideration of other people than Obama does. Even Mr. Clinton, who he was very, very self-centered, he was more humble than Obama. And then you go back to Ronald Reagan. I don't necessarily have this big thing for Reagan that everybody else does. I think he just was a good actor and knew how to hide it and knew how to present it to make people think he felt the way he did, or at least make them think he felt good for them. And that was just a big acting job. And basically, so the Bushes have got that same acting job down rather well. Obama doesn't have it down very well at all, in my opinion. He likes the idea of being the rock star out there with millions of people that are in front of him in an audience and filling big stadiums and things like that. And it's not happening now, which is very upsetting to him, and that's just fine with me.
Yeah, the emperor has no clothes, and he's discovering that.
Exactly. That's well
but you
put.
Know what it is. What it is bringing up, though, you know, I've asked this question a long time ago. What happens if we have a rogue president? And you know, because our checks and balances system that we have is so outdated and so antiquated that as fast as everything can happen in the 21st century, that you know. 90 days for the president to declare the War Powers Act. A lot can happen in 90 days. A lot can happen in 90 seconds. And we don't have the controls, the modern controls to oversee this. And of course, one would say, well, it'd be meaning modifying the Constitution, et cetera. So how do you do that? But
well, I think possibly the thing better think about. The same things could have happened in 90 seconds before. Just as much could have happened in 90 seconds before. The difference was we didn't know about them. We didn't have the ability to learn about them. And the thing we need to go back to is this learning. We need to step back. We don't need to jump in full force and with guns blazing every time Joe Blow decides to shoot somebody in Syria. We need to step back and let them fight their own wars, fight their own law things, and get out of it. I was going to sit down and figure out how many people with Syria. We've got like six different countries that we're now thinking about jumping into and helping. We've got to get our butt out of there. We don't need to help them. We don't need to do anything through them. Maybe we need to help them a little bit in humanitarian ways. But get out of there. Don't make any serious ideas about how they should run their country from afar, which is exactly what we're doing. We're deciding whether they're right or wrong, and we shouldn't be doing that. That's up to them to decide if they're right or wrong. Their right and their wrong may not be the same as our right and wrong. Regardless of what you think about it, just because we think it's right doesn't make it right.
Well, let me ask this question here real quick. We got 5 minutes remaining in the program. Still time to give us a call, 646-721-9887. And I found the article about Nancy Pelosi, which is basically saying that the rich should pay more in taxes. I disagree in that in so many ways, because it seems like they're so concerned about whether or not the rich pays their quote-unquote more for their fair share and the Buffett rule, et cetera. But the only end result of that is that it's more money given to the government. The government doesn't make jobs. It doesn't create a profit. The government, et cetera, et cetera. Why should we be paying more to government when we're already paying a high percentage of our wages to government, when economists have proven, and even some states recently have proven, that a way to better the economy is to lower taxes? And I'm going to take a quick phone call here in the last 4 minutes remaining, 646-721-9887, and welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. This is the first time that I'm listening to the show, and definitely you're touching very important subjects that I just wanted to share my point of view, if that's okay with you, and I hope I don't offend anybody.
No, please do. Thank you.
The gentleman was just explaining just briefly that not because we think that something is correct, that makes it correct. Am I quoting?
That's good. Yes.
Yeah.
That is true, by the way. I'm very glad that, you know, we feel that we must respect other countries, and regardless of how different their points of view might be on regards of how they live and they regulate. However, when their ways of living and regulating themselves is causing conflict to other nations or is somehow bringing imbalance to other people, they are affecting. I mean, nobody's isolated from one another. And it has always been the policy of this nation, for what I understand, to somehow provide out of humanitarian desire to better improvement for everybody. It's not just a selfish approach, but it really comes from the right place. Now, it may not be always the reason why, you know, United States has been involved internationally in so many other events. I mean, I'm not being naive about the motivations behind. But I do also believe that there is a set of moral values in this nation and on the people, at least the soldiers, that they are really feel that they're standing for the right things. I mean, for equality, for betterment, for freedom, for, I mean, those are intangible things, and they're so treasured and valuable. I mean, even to have children, little girls attend schools, is that makes it your obligation? Absolutely not. Does that mean we're trying to impose it? Absolutely not. But we certainly are just trying to help at least those who need it. That's just my intake. But anyway, I just thought that maybe we were not taking that into consideration.
Well, appreciate that. Thank you very much. I understand what you're saying, that the moral values. The thing is, moral values are different from one society to another society, and our moral values, imposing our moral values on everyone doesn't make it right.
Absolutely. And if anything, I mean, one thing that is true is that this nation is the one that is the least, I mean, it's sad to say, but when you leave and you go out of the country, you go to either Europe or Asia or Africa for that matter, you'll be amazed of how the United States is perceived in the outside. And it's not necessarily this nation of greatness.
You're right. That's true. Well, thank you so much for your call.
Sure.
Yeah, give us a call next week, and be sure to call early so we have more time, but I do appreciate it.
Of course.
And unfortunately, we are out of time, and again, we hope that you'll join us again next week. You can, always send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com, if you are listening to the program on the archive. Or send us an email anyways, and especially with your show ideas. But we do appreciate the callers that have called in today, and we'll hope you join us again next week, 1 p.m. Pacific time. Until then, we'll see you later.
Do it earlier. Call her.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.